Hey, welcome to Mickle Stuff. My name is... Oh, shit. You were going to do this one? Go ahead.
Did you
want
to do it?
No.
Hey, welcome to Medical Stuff. My name is Mark. So, do you think in pictures or words, Frankum? And you are Chris. You think? Fingston.
Yeah. No, that was, again, spot on with the nickname.
Pretty much stare at the wall and drool, Fingston, I think would probably be the way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So this evening we're going to be talking about different forms of fantasia. Fantasia is the term for your body's ability, or as we're going to talk about, lack thereof, to form, to use your imagination or form images.
Wow. So this is specifically thinking in terms of like visual imagery, right?
Yes. The first one we're going to talk about, they literally cannot recall, bring up mental images of people's faces.
There are definitely some mental images that I wish I didn't still have.
Right. I'm willing to stab out an eye to get to them. But no, this was actually a listener mail from David McDonald, who says, and I think David, he's a paramedic from Montreal. I was born in Montreal, so obviously he's an exceptional human being. He says he can use his name in the podcast, Mr. David McDonald.
All right, Mr. David McDonald.
He said to me, I do carry the show.
Wait, what?
He said, I carry the show.
Oh, bullshit. David McDonald just wanted on the show, and he knows you write the show preps.
And, excuse me, he ended up with hashtag Science Tiger.
That's fair. Yeah. So he complimented you and made a Spencer reference. So you know what?
Yeah, you're in. You're in, basically.
Fuck you, David McDonald. I'm just joking.
One listener inferred that YouTube banned Skittles commercials because of you.
That's probably true. That's probably true. That's fair. And we are that popular. You can spread that.
Right. Spread it far and wide.
We have that kind of leverage. So, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me a second. I'm going to get a drink of water so I don't keep hacking into the microphone. Unless that makes good radio.
I think it makes great. Oh, Jesus Christ. That hurt my ears.
What? I took a drink of water.
I know. And it was just right in the mic.
No, it wasn't. I could do it right next to the mic if you want.
Please don't. That would be tantamount to you like trying to like suck down a soggy grilled cheese sandwich through the microphone into my ears. Like that would just be like through a straw, mind you.
I think you're being sensitive.
Me?
This feels a little Crystal Bonnie to me.
Yeah, could be.
So, do you want to start off with aphantasia?
Yeah, I'll start off with aphantasia, since it seems to be the thing that I want in my life. Anyway, so aphantasia, this is the inability to visualize mental imagery, and this can also be coupled with the inability to recall sound, smells, or sense of touch.
So, real quick, remember we talk all the time about medical terminology?
Yes.
Things with the letter A in front of it mean nothing, like asystole.
Yeah.
Or apneic.
I was actually...
No breathing.
Yeah, I was actually just about to bring that up. We are synced on this. That is awesome.
Nice.
It makes me happy. Because Mark just brought up like asystole. Well, when your heart beats and when it squeezes, that's called the systolic phase. Well, if you don't have that, because you're dead, it's called asystole. You have no systolic phase. So, yeah, awesome. So, anyway... But yeah, so this was actually first described by Francis Galton.
Galton. Francis Galton. Where's Francis?
I don't know.
You didn't watch Deadpool? Good Lord.
I did watch Deadpool, but I just don't remember that.
Where's Francis?
I don't remember that part.
It's a huge part of the movie where he's searching for the bad guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I saw it once.
So we're going to just back it up that you didn't think it. You slept through it because you have children and you had too many beers.
Right, absolutely. And the kids saw it, so they can recite Deadpool. Anyway, in the 1880s, in a statistical study about mental imagery was when he first described it. But it was pretty much ignored until 2005. Wow, that's a long gap. 1880s. Yeah. And then in 2005, someone's like, hey, remember that Galton dude?
Yeah.
Don't you mean Galton?
Oh, you mean Francis?
Francis. Remember that shit he was talking about?
Oh, Frankie G. Yeah, I remember Frankie G.
See if Professor Zeman remembers that, because it was Professor Zeman was approached by a patient, and we're going to refer to that patient as MX, that had lost the ability to visualize after a minor surgery on their toe, which is weird. I'm kidding. It wasn't on their toe. Anyway, Zeman.
It was actually heart surgery that he suffered a small stroke during.
Oh. Well,
nice,
now I'm
Chris.
Now I'm the asshole.
Nice.
So Zeman then published a paper in 2010, and a number of people approached him telling him of a lifelong affliction of the same symptoms. In 2015, Zeman's team published a second paper where they coined the term congenital aphantasia. And with this paper...
Ooh, nice, nicely said.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Nice little pause in between there. Mm-hmm. Nice enunciation.
Got to say the word genital.
Which has no cons.
No, I mean, it can. But anyway, and with this paper, the interest in aphantasia was renewed. So in 2018, okay, bullshit. Like, you can't be like, and with this one paper, we kind of stirred up the hive. But you can't, it's hard to renew something that I'm going to guess there was never an interest for in the first place. Because if one dude in the
Frankie G was interested. Frankie G was interested.
Dude, one dude in the 1880s, it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, we renewed that, you know?
I glossed over some minor stuff between the two. There may have been some minor interests throughout the years.
Fair enough. So in 2018, Zeman and the Aphantasia Network started a community of people to explore life with this condition. The purpose is to share stories and to learn how people, many of whom spent years of their lives not realizing that this wasn't normal.
That's actually a very common thing I read in a lot of stories about these different people.
Oh, I can understand that.
Yeah. I was at a party. One of the guys, he was at a drunken conversation at somebody's kitchen in a party where he's like, but wait, what? You can remember your wife's face? Because these people literally cannot generate any images or remembrances of places they've been.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible. This has resulted in approximately 12,000 people who are now volunteering in this group. But that actually makes sense because, like, for me, like, I didn't know how bad my vision was until high school. No idea. I just thought I thought my vision was just normal. Had no idea that my vision was bad. Then I got to high school and finally, like, one of the teachers is like, yeah, you need to sit up, like, I'm like, hey, I can't read that. And they're just like, it's pretty... pretty obvious. I'm like, oh shit. Then you go to the eye doctor.
My daughter was 16 when she got her first set of glasses, 15 or 16, and she was stunned at the difference.
Oh yeah.
While I was paying, she was literally standing outside like off on off on off on.
Oh yeah, it's like getting an HD TV,
right?
I guess. Yeah. Except it's...
You don't know how good it is until you get it.
Right. So I guess to describe this, the aphantasia, try to imagine or remember a sunset on the beach. Approximately 1% to 3% of people won't be able to conjure up that image. Now comes the problem, figuring out why this happens. While most people experience this from birth, there is a large percentage of the people who have had this come on after a brain injury, after surgery, or even after periods of depression or psychosis. Also, some of these patients don't dream in images, but a large portion can dream in images, but can't visualize them when awake.
Yeah, that part there was... Yeah, sorry. That part there was trippy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
It is trippy. I can dream in images, but I just can't think of those images once I wake up.
Yeah, I know it happened, but no. So the main diagnostic tool used in the vividness of visual imagery questionnaire. Oh, sorry. The main diagnostic tool used is the vividness of visual imagery questionnaire that was developed by British psychologist David Marks in 1973. This test consists of a 16-question quiz broken into four groups that the participant is told to consider an image about a specific scenes or situations and then rate the vividness of that image on a scale of 1 to 5.
Now, this is, if you Google the VVIQ, it pops a whole bunch of stuff. And there's actually the VVIQ.com has access to the test for free online. Hmm. So if you have any questions about whether maybe this is you or you're affected partially by it, you can actually go online and do an initial quiz by yourself. But you do have to put in some personal information. So.
Oh, gotcha. So this is going to be an interesting list here. There have been some famous people with aphantasia. So first of all, Ed Catmulli, who is the co-founder of Pixar, not someone who you wouldn't think could recall some visual imagery.
or imagine things visually.
Right. Blake Ross, the co-creator of the Firefox web browser. Yoon-Ha Lee, he's a science fiction author. Derek Profit. Could you find some people with easier names? Like Blake Ross, good job, Mark. But anyway, Derek Profit, who is a philosopher and avid photographer. I feel like the photography is just necessary.
Well, they were saying that was kind of one of his ways of compensating with this before he realized it wasn't normal, was he would take pictures of things so he could remember them. Because you could look at the pictures and see them, but he could remember the pictures, like just conjuring up the image. And another thing I noticed is that I was reading one article and they stated that a high percentage of people with aphantasia end up in STEM-related jobs.
Oh, like STEM research?
STEM research. And I'm wondering if that's why, considering Pixar, although you would think you would need an artist's eye, a lot of it is computerized. So it's a lot of coding and a lot of stuff like that.
That's true. And if he's a founder, I mean, there's a lot of different things, you know, to be a founder. You don't necessarily have to be an artist. You don't necessarily have to be, you could be a business partner. Like, I don't know much about the guy to really tell you, but.
Right. Anyway. But yeah, I mean. So.
There I was. Fire all around me.
There is no known treatment for this, as from what I can find. So this is where I ran into a lot of the problems with these multiple subjects was there was a lot of information, just none of it was like research based. Usually when we do preps, you have WebMD will have article like write ups about these that are not just fluff articles from like Rolling Stone.
Right.
And they're not medical journal articles. I don't understand 70% of the stupid words on the page, you know, or I'm trying to read this. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not a stupid human being, but I don't know what they're saying. So, there isn't a great understanding of the cause.
Right.
MRI imaging shows a decreased activity in that area of the brain where these images are created, but they really don't know why. And so they really can't come up with a good treatment for it. But then again, except for the people that have it later in life, they acquire it. The people who are born with it, even the people who acquire it, ultimately can get by pretty easily without it. You know?
Yeah.
It isn't a detriment to them.
That's good.
So, okay. And that's coming from a person who has never had the disease.
But it looks easy.
So, prosopagnosia.
Ah, yes. Prosopagnosia.
Prosopagnosia. Is a term for face blindness.
Wow.
Now, I've heard of being snow blind.
I thought it was where you couldn't see your own face. Oh, wait. That's everybody.
No, and actually, it's when actually you can't. Oh, fair. But snow blind is either where you have been out in the snow too long and the reflection has made you blind, or you've snorted way too much cocaine.
Oh.
And, yeah. I don't know if the second one's true or not. one of those may be bullshit.
It sounds true to me.
You would think eventually it would happen, but I think the psychosis would kick in well before that.
That's fair.
I'm watching a TV show, and this guy's a chef. It's a trippy show, but it's called Future Man. And he does so much cocaine, he can't taste or smell the food. So
nice.
His fix for this is to have his bartender blow it up his butt.
Oh, God. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's a weird, trippy little show, but it is hilarious. Anyway, this is a term for face blindness.
At first, when you said I'm watching a TV show, I'm like, right now? Dude, come on. Like, let's do the podcast.
Focus, dude. Yeah, that's why I can't hear you because I got my other earbuds in. I'm listening to the show.
Nice.
The thing I said earlier, prosopagnosia. Is a cognitive disorder where the person is unable to recognize familiar faces, including their own. This was originally associated with brain damage, traumatic or otherwise, but there has been since a congenital aspect that has been revealed. Again, people who grew up with this, it was just normal. I can't see people's faces. I can't recall them. Like my wife's face. That's true. Everybody's like this.
Yeah. It's normal, right?
Yeah. The area of the brain usually associated with this ability is the fusiform gyrus.
Me too.
The area of the brain.
Me too.
The area of the brain is what specifically allows, or this, the area of the brain, this is the area of the brain that specifically allows us to remember more details about a face than we would a similarly complex inanimate object, which I thought was interesting. It places a higher degree of words, Chris, help.
A higher degree of temperature, acuity? Of mass.
Acuity on a face, okay. On a person's face over like a bust of somebody or a painting of somebody.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. The acquired form is usually from damage to the occipital temporal region. So this was one of the sections where, whereas the other ones were very light, I could have gone on for like an hour just on all the different variations and ins and outs and
oof. Well, let's
hit getting rough.
But hey, let's hit up some treatments.
Okay.
And there have been no successful treatments for this disorder. Okay, diagnosis.
Toast.
But anyway, there have been no successful treatments for this disorder, but some have found minor help from using piecemeal secondary recognition, such as hair color, gait, body shape, or voice. Since facial recognition is important, it's an important identifying feature. So this disorder can impact a person's ability to keep track of social information. It can also be associated with disorders that affect nearby brain areas, such as hemianopsia, which is loss of vision from the left side of space, associated with damage to the right occipital lobe.
You're welcome, by the way.
Fuck you. achromatopsia, deficit in color perception, which are caused by lesions in the temporo-occipital junction. And finally, topographical disorientation, thankfully an easy one, a loss of environmental familiarity and difficulties using landmarks. This is due
I think I've trained some people like this.
Right. Yeah, that is exactly what went through.
Yeah, they cannot learn an area because they don't pick up on landmarks and roads.
Mark and
stuff
I
like that.
Have been FTOs. Mark much longer than I have, and we've both had trainees where it's just like trying to get them to drive somewhere. Like if they don't have a GPS giving them turn by turns, they're right. Screwed.
Well, and you know, because sometimes the sun rises in the east and sometimes it rises in the west.
Nope. So finally, topographical disorientation. Can't get used to landmarks. This is due to lesions in the parahippocampal gyrus and the anterior part of the lingual gyrus of the right hemisphere. How did I get like parahippocampal? Just like cruised right by it. But hemianopsia. I got to sit there and sound like I'm sounding out, you know, the word apple and I'm five. So the most common reason for this disorder is, or the most common reasons for this disorder are lesions in various parts of the inferior occipital area, fusiform gyrus in the anterior and the anterior temporal complex, positron emission
tomography.
I know.
Fall back to parahippocampal. Fall back to parahippocampal.
Right, exactly. Give me the easy ones.
Build up your confidence.
All right, positron emission tomography. You know what? Maybe you do carry the show. Maybe old McDonald has a point.
Let's just call it PET scans.
Thank God. Yeah, PET scans. And
functional. And this next one cracks me up.
What's that?
This next one kind of cracks me up.
Functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI.
As opposed to all the non-functional ones they
Right, exactly.
I mean, when they take it to the doc, is he like, is this a functional one? No. Great, I just got to make something up.
Yeah. Sorry, the MRI is broken. It's a non-functional one. Although I'm pretty sure they're referring to that it looks at like brain function as opposed
right.
to.
But, yeah. As
but it's funnier.
The ability of the MRI to do its job.
Yeah. Which MRI did you use? Oh, we used Bill. God damn it. That is the most non-functional MRI we've ever had. Can someone fire Bill already?
Yeah. Can we just, I guess I got to start blowing smoke, making shit up.
Or at one point, like if someone doesn't get the lingo, they're like, hey, are we going to do an MRI? Someone's like, fMRI. Well, dude, don't have an attitude about it. But I just want to know if you want to do this or a CT scan.
Look, fine. Yeah. We can do a PET scan. Jesus.
Anyway, it's found a decrease in activity in those areas. So that's kind of a thing. So other causes include carbon monoxide poisoning, temporal lobectomy.
That was a test.
You didn't think I'd get it, did you?
Mark, especially since I almost put CO2.
Mark?
Yeah.
I'm a flight medic. I mean,
that's true. Carbon monoxide poisoning is a big part of your job,
right? Actually, those things are, you know, here's kind of,
they are.
Yeah. Seriously, the helicopters are really cool, but at the end of the day, they are really loud and like they're cramped. And there's part of where you're like, my job is so cool. And there's other parts where you're like, God, I wish I was in a fucking ambulance. But teeny tiny, flying, noisy, loud ambulance.
And they stink.
Yeah, that occasionally catches fire. Anyway, so that's not true. I mean, I guess if you crash it, it's totally
not
true.
Just spontaneously.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it could happen, but it could happen to a normal ambulance as well.
CO poisoning.
Right. CO poisoning, a temporal lobectomy, encephalitis, neoplasm, an abnormal growth, growth dissociated with the surrounding tissue, right temporal lobe atrophy, and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So, diagnosis. Mark, do you want to diagnose?
Sure. It's bad.
Okay. Treatment.
Yeah. the main way of diagnosing this disorder is through facial recognition tests. Ooh. Who's that? The Benton facial recognition test is where they have a target face placed above six test faces.
And the subject is asked to. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the subject has to match the face to the round peg to the round hole.
Yeah, that basically. Makes sense.
But the interesting part is the pictures are cropped of any hair and clothes because many of these patients will use the secondary attributes to be able to clue in on the correct person. They compensate by looking at hairstyles and as we talked about earlier.
People usually just compensate by buying a truck. But anyway.
Exactly. don't you drive a truck?
Move on.
this test is done 7 times. In the first round, one of the 6 images will directly match the target face. And in the subsequent tests, 3 of the faces will match, but they're in different positions or from different angles. Just to really fuck with them, I guess. There is also a 20, and this is only like 2 of like 5 or 6, but they got really in depth on the other ones. The 20 item, Jesus Christ, I already forgot it. Prosopagnosia index is a freely used and validated self-report questionnaire and is used along with computer based facial recognition. There are two of these, these are the 2 tests that are most commonly used to help diagnose this disorder. So, treatment.
There's a trend here.
Unfortunately, there's no current treatment for this. And treatments that are used usually have low success rate. There have been cases where this problem has spontaneously, only in acquired cases, has spontaneously self-resolved.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, hyperphantasia.
This one I was really excited about.
Yeah.
And I could find nothing of legitimate. I mean, not that the sources that I do quote, the couple sources I do quote are bullshit. They're just not scientifically based.
It's just
sites.
It's more based off of the subjective, the subjective recollections of people possibly experiencing this as opposed to.
So that doesn't decrease the validity of those people's experience, but it's hard to put hard, fast, numbers down.
So basically, hyperphantasia is a disorder where the person has such a vivid imagination that they have a hard time determining whether the mental is a memory.
Oh, where the mental image. Sorry. Oh,
no worries. Where the mental image is a memory or a real image or an imagined one. So it seemed like a fascinating subject, like Mark was saying, but it seems to be relegated to like a subcategory of aphantasia.
I swear to God, I Googled causes of hyperphantasia. And there was a thing. What causes hyperphantasia? I'm like, score. I click on it, and it's a full article of aphantasia with like a couple lines about hyperphantasia.
Those sons like of bitches.
The name of the article when I clicked on the webpage didn't mention hyperphantasia at all.
Nice. That's super helpful.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
So these people, when it happens, the memory. The best way I could think of this was like those movies where somebody sees a murder, but nobody believes them, and they start to doubt that it actually happened, that maybe they imagined it.
Oh, wow. That could be.
Yeah, that would be something along the lines of if the person had hyperphantasia.
And it does look like
they could imagine something so vivid, they can't tell it, the image in their head, they can't tell if it's a memory or if it's a real image, if it's an imagined image.
Yeah, well, and there looks like there is some links with PTSD and other psychological trauma as well. So, do you think in pictures or words?
Do you ever have anybody ask you that?
I want to say, this isn't the first time I've heard it.
That I remember I back say. In the 80s and early 90s, this was a big, you want to trip out your stone friends?
Yeah.
Dude, do you think in pictures or words?
What do you think know? In pictures of words?
Ooh, that is kind of addressed in here.
Oh, shit. So, visual thinking or picture thinking is a phenomenon where the person sees words as a series of pictures. Literally the first sentence. This is a common thing with upwards of 65% of the population processing information primarily this way. Approximately 25% of the population think in words with the difference using a mix of the two. Also, there is a very small percentage are real picture thinkers that use pictures to the exclusion of other ways of thinking. So
real quick, because I don't think I did a very good job on that paragraph. When you think of a person who is a primarily picture thinker, they will still mix in words as they go along.
Okay.
And the 25% word thinkers primarily think in words, gotcha. But they still will have some overlap into picture thinking. That last group, nothing but pics.
Pics for days. So thinking in mental images is one of a number of forms of thought. Others may include musical or mathematical thinking. And there is also kinesthetic, which is a tactile learning where the person learns through carrying out physical activities. I learned – so recently at my job –
we learned to not get out and stand up straight because it almost cut your head off.
So here's the thing. So on our particular aircraft, if I get out and stand up straight, it won't come anywhere near me. There are aircraft that my agency owns where I shall not stand up straight. It would be a terrible choice. particularly so if I'm out.
Tell me to drive this home. They have like a 4-bat system where they simulate the height of the blades and it spins like on a drill. So and then you get out and the bat just starts hitting you in the side.
So if I got out of the side of the aircraft the way I'm supposed to, I could stand up straight and it wouldn't hit me. But if I walk the wrong direction away from the aircraft, it would absolutely hit me. That would be the AW-109s. They had one in the hangar when I was doing my NEO training and, we walked up to it and like I stood at kind of like the end of the rotor disc in the front and it was right at face height.
That's bad.
Yeah. So if that thing was spinning, it was just like, and they were very blunt about it too. Like, no, like you got to leave from the 3 o'clock position. Like that's like, just get used to that.
It's just 11:45.
We're sitting on scene. Sorry guys. It's only 2 o'clock. I can't get out.
We don't think Finkston's going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which in that particular thing, that's kind of a self, you know, you don't really have to worry about, you know, firing the guy because he'll kind of, you know, just get rid of himself.
It'll either walk into the blades or there'll be a blanket party back at the base.
Right. So, God. But we have these, new pieces of equipment coming in. They're medication pumps. And we have the manual for them already, so we can kind of get, you know, brushed up on some of the stuff before we actually get them. And I'm kind of going through the manual and I realize I'm like, this doesn't help me. Like if I had the thing with me there and I could physically walk through the steps that the manual is talking about, it would be great. But just staring at it, reading it, I'm like, this is of zero help to me whatsoever. So thinking in mental images is one of a number of forms of thought. Like I just literally read this. Why am I reading it again? Mm-hmm.
Next paragraph.
Here we go. While there is no research to show that identifying a person's learning style will help them produce better outcomes, there is a body of evidence that shows that a meshing style of all the styles does help across the board, showing that although there's a small percentage of people that learn exclusively from one style, most of us have a bit of each style in us.
There was also a little bit of information about savants or people on the autistic spectrum that would be better dealing with or being taught by one particular style. You know, these are the guys, the savant autistics who, from looking at a picture, can recreate a full city line in detail, you know.
Yeah.
Or they listen to music and they can play all the parts, you know. Yes, they would definitely benefit from a single type of training style, but for most of us, we're much more muddled and less perfect. And so they have to kind of throw everything at us and just hope something sticks to the wall.
Nice. I like that. It works for me.
To me, a person who is working on that level or can feel love in a level that most of us will never understand, that's not diminished. That's advanced, because I can't do that. That's above me. So,
yeah.
Anyway, right. personal opinion.
Okay. So, while there's no research,
body of evidence showing.
Yep. All right, here we go. The question of how you think started in the 80s with a company that was trying to quantify how people thought to help teach organizations how to run more smoothly and make sure that the proper employees were in the proper place. Well, while they started out.
Okay, real quick. Make sure the right people in the right seat of the bus. Who said that?
No, actually, the person who said that was Iacocca, I believe.
Yeah.
It was either Iacocca or it was. Was Iacocca the guy that was in charge of GE, or was that someone else?
He was in charge of Chrysler, but those are all kind of conglomerates together, so possibly.
No. Uh-huh. It was who was the guy? He was in charge. Hang on. Who said that?
I'll tell you what. You look it up, and I'll keep reading. How about that?
I like it. Do it.
Okay, so while they started out with more smoothly, proper place, proper positions, yada. While they started out with two styles,
I think it was Jim Collins.
I think you're thinking of a Tom Collins, which is a drink.
No. It was. I could go for a drink, but no, I'm pretty sure it was Jim Collins in his book "Building Greatness" or "Good to Great."
Okay.
So that's what it was. Anyway.
So while they started out with two styles, a picture
nice
thinkers
try. And the
as I said, I'm like, wait, Spence contacted him earlier, didn't light up, so I'm nice. Thinking.
For those listening and those that are fans of the show, Mark once again tried to text me once again, I'm a professional and had my phone on silence.
Percentage-wise, what would you put your percentage at of all the shows that it was off?
Okay, lately? Lately?
No, overall.
Overall, I'd say I'm probably about 25% of it off and then 75% on. So Mark is indeed a good blackjack player. But in this
– And to do it – I'm not doing it to anger Chris. I'm just doing it because it makes me laugh when it happens.
And the thing is now it, like no matter what, it interrupts the show just because I have to gloat that I did the right thing. All right.
Oh, back at so it. While they start with two styles, the picture thinkers and the word thinkers, they found a third group that seemed related to people's people skills, their ability to interact the salespeople, you know, and less with the other analytical types of thinking.
Okay.
So while they saw the people who were drawn to sales would obviously be part of this third group, they were able to maneuver the conversation in a way that was appealing to the person they were talking to without necessarily being manipulating. They were just able to read people.
Nice.
You know, but it also showed like CEOs would use this information on how to run meetings or deal with their employees because they could relate to the people in like their board meetings so that you're working towards their strengths.
Nice.
You know, I remember when you did Good to Great, not Good to Great, but
Building Greatness.
Ambulance Service Manager.
Oh, yes.
ASM.
Okay.
In my group, because I was put in charge of my group for our final project, mm-hmm. which we ranked highest. We were number one. I think you were too, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they ranked ours in ours. I know
we did. We got scored.
I know we crushed it. Like we did really good. Yeah.
No, when they gave us a point value.
Oh yeah,
and ours was quite a bit higher than everybody else.
We did really well. The only thing we got points off for was our PowerPoint presentation wasn't as legible as it should have been. The only other group I will say that also rocked it. Well, actually, a lot of the groups rocked it, but the other group that rocked it was also someone from our agency. I had a leader from our agency. So
SS.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yep.
You're kind of an anomaly, but for her.
Right. Yeah. Me? Definitely. Weird. But
No, but the thing was, is that the reason they put me in charge is we did a personality quiz, right? We all got put into different, you know, everybody's got different personalities. And so putting a person who's more passive in a leadership role is setting somebody up for failure.
Yeah.
You know, but I was also able to recognize subtleties. Like I had a guy in my group who was not social, did not come down to the parties. But I tell you what, that guy could take data and parse it up and make PowerPoint presentations that were beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy in there that his true strength was just writing the actual form, you know, the actual body of the information.
Nice.
You know, we had people that were great at research and making, you know, doing. But yeah, so it really worked out well for us.
Nice.
So, there have been some small studies that show that more people are thinking. Oh, okay. This is the last bit of it. So, there have been some small studies showing that the percentage of picture thinkers is going up as our society becomes more visually based. We're communicating more in pictures to each other, more in video, less in written. I mean, the days of sitting down with pen and paper. Quill and paper and or quill and parchment and writing an actual letter to somebody that you put in the mail.
Yeah.
You know, or remember, I don't know if you, when I was a kid, we have pen pals.
Oh, yeah.
People that we may never meet in our life from a different country. You send letters back and forth to each other. And you knew everything about this person's life and you've never met them.
Now you can just video chat them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, the problem with this is they've been small studies and they haven't been necessarily very well defined. And so a lot more testing needs to be done to see if that's an actual shift.
Wow.
You know, that's actually causing a shift in it or not. But like I said, this was, I thought this was kind of an interesting episode.
Yeah, it's interesting. A little bit shorter episode, a little bit of a, we call it a chicken McNugget instead of a fully cooked chicken breast for everybody today. But it's the quality that matters. It's not the length. Yeah.
I was expecting a lot more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like hyperphantasia, I was expecting a lot on that.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah, especially because that's the word hyper in anything. There'd be a lot, but no.
Right.
Negatory.
Yeah, so that's what I have.
Yeah, well, I will say this.
You and Spencer have a podcast. We work at Lifelight. We know.
I haven't said that. Oh, okay. I did get a – so I did recently change my profile picture on my Facebook – because it was just me in a helmet, and mostly because like this is a strange thing. I actually don't like putting my face anywhere. I don't know. It's a privacy
thing.
None
of us do. None of us like you putting your face out there.
Well, exactly. And I'm a man of the people. And
the mask, the helmet thing with the visor down was actually the best I've ever seen you.
Yeah, right. I know. Exactly. But it was kind of a thing. I'm like, all right, hey, visor down. It kind of represents it. Like right now, I'm kind of all about flight medicine. And this is a Facebook. It's about me. And I'm like, right. I can put that on there. It doesn't have to show my face. And it's accurate. I put it up there. But I've been getting so much shit about being a flight medic lately from everyone. Like, I literally – so there's someone who is a fan. He's a big fan of EMS 2020. He's also a fan of this show as well. And he shot me – and he was texting me. He had some just – oh, yeah. One of our Lifelight helicopters was parked at a hospital that he was parked at. And he sent me a text with a picture of the helicopter just said, hey, man, can you move your helicopter? It's blocking my view. And I just laughed and I said, it's not me. I'm not on duty right now. Or that's a different, you know, it's a different bird. And I had said something in there about, oh no, I sent him a picture of actually a really cool picture of us. We were landing on the beach, but it's just a beautiful sunset in the beach and all that stuff. We're landing not on the beach, but at a hospital near the beach. And it's just a beautiful view. And I said that to him and he goes, oh, are you a flight medic? And I text him back and I completely said, like, not yet, but I'll get my FPC soon. And I'm like, wait, you're being sarcastic, weren't you? He's like, totally being sarcastic. And I'm like, I need to go ahead and like tune this down a little bit. So yeah. But anyway, it was good times. So, but yeah, that's all I have on the subject, which is weird for me to say that because I didn't even research any of it. But that's all Mark has on the subject. I can tell you that much. And yeah, I think so we hit him.
I think it was good. I mean, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit weird, but I enjoyed it. I really did.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So,
yeah. Well. So if you want to get a hold of us, and we've been getting a lot of messages lately.
Yeah,
I saw that you responded to somebody on Instagram the other day. It was pretty funny. Who was that? They made a joke about, because why pain medication's not is done in milligrams and not megahertz.
Oh, yeah. I chuckled at that one. That was a good one. I got to check something.
I'm actually going to start doing that. Anytime I give fentanyl, they've had 150 megahertz of fentanyl.
Right. Exactly. Actually, hang on a second. I might have to do a shout out to a Instagram follower. Okay. So one of my favorite followers on our Instagram, and I'm just going to use their Instagram account name. I won't use their actual real name. She's one of my favorite followers on our medical stuff. She also follows EMS 2020, new episodes every Wednesday. And here's what it is. The Instagram account name is Existential Dread Cucumber. And that's not the part that made me laugh. The part that made me laugh is if you click on and check out the profile, they describe themselves. It just says, is actually a cucumber. And that's the part. That is the part that makes me crack up every single time I see it. It's just like, is actually a cucumber. So that is my favorite Instagram follower for no other reason than that line.
See, I don't grade our followers. I don't play favorites.
Oh, I fucking do. And apparently, you know that apparently everyone but that one person knows that they are not first place.
There's a whole bunch of number twos out there.
Right. Oh, wow. At number two, that could even be like a bathroom reference. You basically just called all of our listeners shit except for existential.
You did. I don't judge.
Those words came out of your mouth, sir. Your mouth.
Because do I take another drink of water for you?
I'm going to have another sip of my Red Bull.
That's,
hang on, guys.
That explains why you're not yawning.
I'm Mark, and I'm on a podcast. Let me just drink my Red Bull. Let's put shit down on the counter. I'm sorry. That's a little much. Don't worry, there's an editor that takes care of all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, the person who bought the mixer that you're using. That I haven't seen in like 3 years.
Right? Well, don't worry, it's doing just fine in my place. Yeah, I had to kink.
So if you want to get a hold of us on social media, we're on Twitter at MedSideStuff, MedSideStuff. And we are on Instagram at MedicalStuff52, and we're on Facebook at MedicalStuff.
If you'd like to send us an email, please do. We're at MedSideStuff@yahoo.com.
And as always, we love you all for listening, and please spread the love.
And we love Existential Dread Cucumber just a little bit more. And
you do. You do. Don't drag me down.
Oh, come
don't
on. Come on. Down. Well, at this point, if you average our two totals, then they're still number one, so.
I think you think that your vote counts for more than one.
Look, all I'm saying is that if you call them all even, you're 50%, right? If I call them all even, I get 50%, right? So therefore, if we combine our two totals and I've got one, she has like a 0.5% between the two of us, even if I only... It makes sense. Just trust me. Just trust me.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
And that is toast.